Last week we saw that Socrates is right and has been for thousands of years, since class first stalked and claimed its first captive, in arguing that it is precisely those most in need of education that don't believe they need education. Recall that Karl Popper told us that this was the problem Socrates struggled with most. As we said in the June 8, 2014 show, referring to the page Karl Popper on Authentic Education for Youth, we called this problem Socrates' Dilemma in the discussion of Popper's Chapter 7 on the Principle of Leadership. And we also saw, thanks to both Socrates and Xenophon, that those people most in need, that which they have not, that which they possess, that amazing insights in The Rape of Lucrece, William Shakespeare, that those people most in need of education are precisely the would-be kings, the so-called rulers, precisely those with the certainty and the means to claim the right of defining the institutions, which unsurprisingly are all set up hierarchically, while biasing the resources of the planet, capitalism, to drop in their pockets, reproducing hierarchy, if not stopped, in perpetuity, to ensure their supremacy ad infinitum. But Karl Popper is mistaken in thinking that institutions can be reformed to deliver a future that can serve as a perpetual check to hierarchy, to power. And if he means that institutions must be reinvented, then we're in the realm of ever-moving definitions, and tells us nothing about how we get power out of them. Far better to describe what we want: open, easy, relaxed, generous, allowing every human being to grow their gifts unruled on the planet, and not be too concerned about the name we give to it. What do we call it? Who cares? It means commune. And what does this tell us about leadership, if not, as Socrates saw, that we all possess it, to the degree that conditions that further it in every body are allowed to be? What are these conditions? As we name them, we invoke our future. But unless ending hierarchy is at the top of the list, and we'll be illustrating once again with the red herring localism, all our efforts to define an alternative will but get us hierarchy all over again. Which is why we can't have institutions. And not just because the existing ones are structured hierarchically, but because our nature loves challenges and loves to volunteer, and we love to surprise each other. Rigidity doesn't fit with our natural freedom. Freedom is what we want, and only freedom can get us our future, because freedom is our future. Freedom can't exist if you try to freeze it. So when power says it's reforming democracy by modifying policy, the ultimate aim of which is to rein in potential recalcitrants, by cultivating particularly youth buy-in, for example, allowing a few youth of privilege to be artists and environmentalists and urban farm experts and entrepreneurs, converting poisoned places into aesthetic oases, producing higher level services and stuff for elite consumption. Getting more and more like that ancient Greece fantasy every day, ain't it? Pretty soon we're going to see, as a new job available, you know, gathering those big palm fronds and fanning them as they kick back and we pop grapes in their mouth. Wonder what they'll call that job. I'm sure they'll give it a nice sweet name like creatives.